To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord for our sermon meditation today comes to us from Psalm 90, selected verses printed for you in your bulletin on page 8. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So far, God's holy word. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior Jesus, who is the Lord of the church and who has blessed us with faithful ministers to proclaim the gospel and to equip the saints, and especially to you, dear Pastor Mark Golerud, this morning, dear fellow redeemed. Today we gather together to celebrate an incredible ministry, a flawless and a perfect ministry. We celebrate a man who never shied away from speaking the law and who faithfully and lovingly proclaimed God's path to free and full salvation. A man who never once thought about himself, but only ever cared for those to whom he was called to serve. A man who sacrificed everything for those he loved. Now, we are, of course, also gathered to give thanks for Mark Golerud, Lord's gift of the church through his many years of service. But before we get into that, we must first ponder the immovable foundation that our gracious God has laid for his church and where Mark received the guidance and motivation to faithfully serve his God and ours these many long years. We will also see from God's word today how the Lord has wisely and powerfully promised to uphold and maintain his church now and until Christ comes. To that end, our sermon theme today is, our years of service are years of grace. 3 years, 50 years, and indeed 6,000 years. May the Holy Spirit bless us and strengthen us in our faith through our study of the Word today. Now, you've probably guessed by now already that this perfect preacher that I was talking about just a moment ago is not named Mark. I wish it were true that all pastors were perfect and never made mistakes, that they never run out of steam, that they're always waiting right by the phone for every emergency that arises, and that they always say exactly the right things. But each of you knows as well as I do, as well as Mark does, that pastors are not perfect. They do get tired. They do get frustrated. They often spend more time feeling like a failure than a smashing success. Now, Moses, the writer of our sermon text today, Psalm 90, he himself being an imperfect pastor, answers the question of why our ministries are not perfect, and why our pastors so often fail. Beginning with verse 8 in our text and following. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. Now I currently serve, I'm blessed to serve, a very supportive congregation up in Spokane, Washington. The saints there send their greetings, by the way. And the saints up there will often come to me and say things from time to time like, "You're the best, Pastor. How did you get so wise? And do you ever sleep?" I'm sure that you also, Mark, have been blessed with this uplifting Christian fellowship and support that the Holy Spirit lends his servants, those through those they have been called to serve. I've no doubt that we sit in a room full of people this morning that are astounded that you are so willing and able to come out of retirement, don the gown once more, and continue to faithfully tend Christ's flock here at St. Stephen as you await your new incoming pastor. But looking back on 50 years since you were first ordained into the pastoral ministry, only you know fully the many ways that you have failed. Just as I have and continue to fail. Just as every Christian knows that their service and the many ways that they have failed in their duties too. Well, actually, that knowledge is not ours alone, but the Lord's, who knows our service, who knows all the ways that we have failed in our duties before him. Not just the sins of the pastors, but the sins of all of us are evident to the Lord in his all-knowing wisdom. In fact, our iniquity is so well known by God that none of it is hidden from his sight. 50 years is a long time, Mark. And how many of those years did you finish with a sigh, looking back in sorrow and frustration, thinking, "Not enough, never enough"? This is why we turn today, somewhat ironically, to a much shorter ministry first, the perfect ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, who for 3 short years, this Jesus of Nazareth, went about equipping his disciples for the work that they would do in his church, providing them with the word of God they would need to succeed in their own ministries. For 3 years, he did not cease to proclaim God's law and his gospel. For 3 years, he sacrificed comfort, wealth, fame, and earthly and heavenly glory to obey his Father's will and to instead be homeless, divisive, hated, and rejected for the truth that he spoke. And when all of his preaching and his earthly ministry had been accomplished, he then returned to the city of God so that the people of God might crucify the Son of God. There, those precious drops of the blood of God himself poured from his brow, from his hands, from his feet. Now, most people would look at that as a failed ministry, wouldn't they? But that's only because they haven't searched the scriptures to find that this was the primary purpose of Jesus' ministry. His service was not only to proclaim God's word to the people, but to fulfill God's word on our behalf, becoming the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who takes away your sin and mine. Because of this, you, Mark, and every pastor, indeed every Christian, can confidently pray verses 14 to 17 of our sermon text. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the works of our hands for us. Yes, establish the works of our hands. Mark, have you suffered affliction these past 50 years? Have you seen evil in your years as Satan strives against the church of God and as our sinful flesh writhes within us? I know you have. And the rest of you here gathered this morning, you also have seen many afflictions. You have seen all that the Lord has allowed to take place, the crosses he has allowed to be laid placed upon your back. And so our prayer today is still that God would satisfy us with his mercy. And he does. Our prayer is that he would give us days of gladness in the midst of our afflictions. And he does. Our prayer is that we might behold the beauty and glory of God through his word and receive his promises through his sacraments, despite ourselves, despite our sinful natures. And this we do also. This is a prayer, verses 14 to 17, a prayer that is always answered. As God promises in Isaiah 55, verse 11, God's word will never return empty, and it always accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it, prospering in what he pleases. Now, your ministry, this has not been perfect, Mark. May it continues to be imperfect as you continue to serve. But because Christ's ministry and service were perfect, because we have this wonderful hope and promise, because his words are perfect, and because he promises in his great commission to be with those that he sends even until the end of the age, your years of ministry, Mark, have been and continue to be years of grace. Your years of service have all been years of God's grace, working through weak and sinful people so that the beauty of his gospel and the glory of his powerful love might shine all the more. Now, perhaps not every member walked away from every Sunday service or every home visit thinking to themselves, "What a great pastor you were." But every Sunday, the gospel went out. Every home visit, every hospital visit where Christ crucified was proclaimed, no one could walk away without realizing what a great and powerful God they had, what a loving Savior was theirs. That's precisely what's so great about the ministry, is that even when we fail, God's purposes are accomplished. As Paul so eloquently puts it for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And the Lord said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And the best part of all, this strength God gives to us in our weakness is not restricted only to his servants in the public ministry. And Mark's exemplary years of service and God's grace are not the outlier. This grace is consistent for all of God's children who serve him, and it always has been. As verses 1 and 2 of our text state, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." From generation to generation, God has been our dwelling place, the dwelling place of his people, giving us relief from the guilt and shame of our sin and guiding our service by his almighty hand. I think of how much the world has changed in the past 3,500 years since Moses would have written these words. But you know what hasn't changed? What will never change? God's faithfulness to his church, to his ministers, and to all of his people. 2 Timothy 2:13 declares, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. For 6,000 years since creation, the ministry of all who serve the Lord in faith has been so richly blessed that we cannot but come today and give thanks to the Lord and have this tremendous confidence in God's promises to continue to sustain and guide his flock every day of every year until Christ returns. Just as Christ said in Matthew 16, even the very gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. What special comfort this affords us Christians as we, even now today, wrestle with trials and tribulations like the pastor shortage, like shrinking congregations. If the Church of Christ belonged to us, it would fail. But the church is God's, the bride of Christ, as Scripture calls us. The church belongs to God, and so each of us belong to him. And you know what belongs to us in him? Free gift of eternal life. Forgiveness for every sin. Strength in every trouble, and hope even in deepest darkness. Mark, these past 50 years have been so blessed by God's grace because your ministry was never about you. It was only and always about Christ crucified. And so you can look back and not see your failures, your sins, your regrets, but rather that constant heartbeat of the gospel coursing through your life and coursing through the lives of every soul you have served and continue to serve. And you members of St. Stephen, your ministries too, for you also serve the Lord, even if it's not up here from a pulpit. You have been so richly blessed because it has been God establishing the works of your hands. God help us, his church will continue to function in this exact same satisfying, successful, and special way that our ministries always have, guided by his grace, strengthened by his gospel, always looking forward to that eternal life which is laid up for us in him. Our years of service are not years of regret, though we do have many regrets. Our years of service are not years of failure, though we have often failed. These are not the defining characteristics of our ministry. That defining characteristic is contained in one word: grace. Our years of service are years of grace. Thus it is now, has been, and will be forever. And so today, I join you saints at St. Stephen for thanking God for his service in Mark Golerud. And we thank God for your service, members of St. Stephen. We thank God for all the blessed service he works among all his people, and all those he guides so that they can lead others to the cross of Christ and shine the light of salvation into a world which so desperately needs it. We look forward in hope and confidence, not simply because you have a new incoming pastor. I can assure you, he will not be perfect either. Our hope comes from the Lord, who promises to perfect our labors in his name and to help those who he has made perfect and righteous through the gospel of Christ. As God writes to us in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And so we pray. Lord of the church, let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. In Jesus' saving name, amen. Congregation, please rise. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.